I've been there.
Hello, this is Norpod. Broadcast brought to you by Arabs for Christ and MideastOutreach.com. And this is your host, John. Right now I'm in the States, so this is a stateside edition. I was not really deported, I was forcefully removed from Lebanon, let's say that. So, over today we will be talking later on with Jimmy, a good friend of mine. We'll be talking about some new Christian films coming out that are in Arabic. I'm very excited about these projects. We'll be going in-depth and talking about the different videos that have come out and what our opinions on are all of them. But first, let's go ahead and check on with the news.
Indonesia punishes beheading militants. Will there be backlash? Spring break brings students together to serve, and a new audio ministry team's ready to launch a project in Mozambique. These stories and more coming up on today's edition of Mission Network News, a daily news service of Cornerstone University of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm Greg Yoder. Three Islamic militants have been found guilty in three Christian schoolgirl beheadings. They were sentenced to prison terms of 14 and 20 years. The grisly murders took place in Poso, Indonesia, and fanned Muslim-Christian tensions in the Sulawesi province. Open Doors' Carl Muller says,
I think these crimes thoroughly justified at least a life imprisonment sentence. These are horrific crimes against innocent children who were killed on their way to school and made an example of to the Christian community there with threatening notes accompanying the bodies that were found.
It's unclear whether there will be an appeal. There are some concerns the courts were too lenient or that the verdicts will result in sectarian violence. Mueller says Christians need support.
Our encouragement to believers there is that just as the first century church endured these types of persecutions and then literally turned the world upside down, that they can still see their prayers and their efforts to reach out to their persecutors have an effect.
Meanwhile, the Lao Movement for Human Rights says Nakhon village leaders in Laos want to eliminate Christianity from the remote village that's only accessible by an 8-hour boat trip. LMHR reports local leaders assembled a group of more than 180 people to force local believers to renounce their faith or be forced out of the village. 46 people from 10 families were ordered to leave. Government officials deny the charges, pray this persecution will end. You're listening to Mission Network News. Islam is slowly but surely taking a grip on European culture. Butchers are targeted by Muslims who occasionally spit on sausages in the open market. And most recently, a German judge denied a speedy divorce, claiming the Quran sanctions physical abuse of wives. Greater Europe Mission is focusing on the growing Muslim community. Roy is a GEM missionary in France.
In the next 15 years, there's an expectation that the Muslim population will double. That's due to the continued influx of immigrants who are Muslim background immigrants and the fact that they are having larger families than the typical European families.
While a culture clash seems imminent, Roy says GEM is partnering with a number of organizations who are reaching out to the Muslim community.
The North African Muslim background immigrants are coming to the Lord and they're starting to develop their own associations, their own churches, and that's something we've never seen before. We're seeing them become more vocal, more public. And that's encouraging a number of people to come out of the closet, so to speak.
Elsewhere, Christians and non-Christians are spending their spring break serving together. College students from the New England states traveled to New Orleans this year to help with Katrina cleanup. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship's Denise Rossetti says non-believers are getting involved in discussions.
We get some great questions from students asking about, how can you be a Christian and not be a hypocrite and not be a nun? Don't you have to be a nun in order to be like a real Christian? Or, you know, why do Christians draw such a strong line between being a Christian and being a non-Christian?
Most commitments come after the trip, so follow-up is crucial. Rossetti says,
one of the big projects for us is thinking about how do we follow up well, especially given the fact that we only have a couple months left in the school year. So how do we maintain relationships with these students and help them continue thinking through these questions and making decisions?
Pray that many students will come to know Christ. And Audio Scripture Ministries has been laying the groundwork for a recording outreach at a Bible college in Mozambique. Their lay contact just finished training and has been asked to record the Makua language of Mozambique, which has 2.5 million speakers. Praise God for this opportunity to get the scriptures in audio for this language. Pray that the ASM team will be able to get permission to complete this language recording from the Bible societies. Mission Network News, a daily news service of Cornerstone University of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Back to the Bible's making available Woodrow Kroll's book, Little People, Big God. stories of little superstars in the Bible that had a big impact in their world. It could teach you how to impact your world. Get your free copy at 1-800-995-4828 or go to missionnetworknews.org. That's missionnetworknews.org. I'm Greg Yoder.
Before we get into the video reviews or whatnot, I'd like to tell you guys a little bit about what's been going on with the website. Okay, at first we had problems with the host, we switched hosts, then we had more problems with that host, so we switched and then we got to the current one where we're at. Then began the work of rebuilding. Now, for those of you who have never done any kind of work with internet, it's pretty hard to restore something. It's easy to build something new, but to restore something, it's very difficult. Anyhow, right now, everything is back up and running. The message boards took the longest. It took the longest mainly because I had a lot of modifications done to the message board, and it took me forever to get those things back up. After I got most of the message board, let's say 75% of it restored, we started getting spammed. Now, at this point in time, I'd like to thank all those people that have been really helpful with deleting spam when it came up. It's been everything from a link to nasty photos or pictures. It's really obscene photos. Anyhow, it's been taken care of now. If you look on the message board, christianmissiontrips.org/forum, you will see everything is back to normal. Everything works, the private messages, everything. You shouldn't even see any errors. If you do, let me know. john@christianmissiontrips.org. What else? The only things that are still left to get the site back up and going are the top sites, and that's about it. So in the meantime, just stay tuned, and we will have the site completely up and going. Everything else is working. IRC is up and going. Come by if you'd like to chat to any Arabs or Christ personnel. And that's it. That concludes this service announcement. Let's go on with the show.
خليل خليل يا ولدي، الكتاب الذي سوف تكتبه
إله المسلمين ولا إله النصارى؟ لو كنت إله المسلمين يا رب شيل كل حاجة من دماغي إلا الإسلام.
Oh, we're back again. This is Norpod. We're here with Jimmy.
Hello, John.
Hi, Jimmy.
All right. Hi, audience.
We're talking today about Christian films in general, but more specifically the new Arabic projects called More Than Dreams.
Wonderful movie. Wonderful.
So, Jimmy, what do you think this movie would compare to some of the other Christian movies that are out there?
No comparison. This one's not in English, but the message is twice as clear in reading it and just understanding what the meaning of it is.
You think there are a lot of the Christian, there's a big movement out there to make films that are just morally correct but remove any kind of gospel proclamation. Do you think these films follow that trend?
No, I think these definitely speak up and acknowledge that Christ is the only way to the kingdom of heaven, and they don't follow the ways of the world, and obviously, or I don't think these would have been made. These are way different.
Through this trend that's been going on with just the morally correct TV, I think you remember we watched that movie Time Changer a while back. Talked about basically teaching morals apart from Christ. Remember that movie?
I do recall something of a time changing, yes.
Well, anyhow, the movie talked about teaching morals apart from Christ, which is kind of what happened in the early TV era. They started teaching Christ morals apart from Christ because they thought Christ would be offensive. And so now we're starting to see a reemergence of that where Christian movies are just happy family movies.
Yeah, and that's all too common nowadays, and especially on the more common TBN and public broadcasting. And I think that it is blasphemous to Christ, because if we don't reveal to the world who he is, and how can they find him?
It's really strange that in the last few years there's been a large kind of move towards making action and timesy movies, but a lot of these have a very unclear gospel message. They seem to be very entertaining, as to entertain people who are unbelievers, but not really challenge them. Do you think that's about right?
I completely agree with you. I think people are focusing not on the good aspects of what Christ did and what Christ still is doing and what Christ will do, even in the end times, but they're trying to scare people into submission to God, which I don't think is the way to do it, the kingdom of heaven. And these people, the ones that do come to Christ through these end time movies that are using fear as tactics, they're using fear, exactly what I just said, not the love of Christ.
But don't you think that it's there should be a way to be able to talk to them about hell, but not necessarily scare them into the faith, but that way that they don't come to Christ out of a need for happiness or whatnot?
No, I think they should start from where they're at. You start where you're at in the black hole. If you don't know Jesus, you're in a black hole, and that is hell. I mean, if they don't know that, then a believer does need to bring that to them, not to scare them, but to show them how much life is out there.
Now, back to the topic. Do you think these movies, the More Than Dreams projects, do you think they're as cheesy as some of the older Christian movies?
Absolutely not. I don't think there's any cheese in these movies. Actually, I didn't even sneeze, and I'm lactose intolerant.
In the older movies, a lot of the times when they'd have a cheesy moment is when someone would say something like, "Oh, I'm hungry," and then the second guy would say, "Well, Jesus has food that no one knows of," and it would be about the only time there would be a swing towards the gospel. When these films take a swing towards the gospel, did they do it in a good transition, or do you think it just flowed very good?
Absolutely. They started off with the Islamic principles at the beginning, and they showed the side that they were coming from. And then I think throughout the movie, when the main characters realize, you know, like that Jesus Christ is convicting their heart, that they interweave scriptures and they use the verses very well.
All right, we'll be right back in a moment. We need to take a break.
6 literal days of creation. Is it divisive?
Answers with Ken Ham, whose large creation museum will open in late May. Well, Ken, you take a strong stand concerning the 6 literal days of creation, a young earth, and also a global flood. Aren't you being divisive, though?
You know, at a seminar, a young woman told me that her pastor refused to take a stand on these issues. He said it would create too much division, and the pastor thought it would offend some teachers and researchers in his church. Now, I explained to this woman that just because something's divisive doesn't mean it's wrong. We're told in the Bible that the teachings of Jesus cause division. In fact, in a world where men love darkness rather than light, there'll be division wherever Scripture shines on this dark world. And really, if you're not causing division, then you may not be teaching the truth of Scripture. I also reminded this woman that if her pastor doesn't mention Genesis, then to be consistent, he should avoid most of Paul's teachings in the New Testament. Many of Paul's passages are built on the literal Genesis. You see, Christians should take a stand on 6 literal days in a young earth and a global flood, even if it causes division. Either God means what he says, or we may as well not believe any of the Bible.
Much more about this important topic is covered in Ken's booklet on the 6 days of creation. To receive your free copy, which is also a great witnessing tool, go to our website, AnswersRadio.com. You'll read the booklet right there on your computer screen or print it out. Go to AnswersRadio.com.
Hi, and we're back. This is Jimmy.
This is John.
Okay. Hello, John.
Hi, John. Oh, wait. I don't say hi to myself. Okay, and we're back.
Nobody said hi to Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy.
Thank you.
All right, so we just watched an Iranian one called More Than Dreams, Khorsoro. That's an Iranian name, so any guys that don't know Farsi.
Or have loogies in your throat.
Yeah. Anyhow, this one I wasn't so impressed with. What about you, Jimmy?
Well, I the message was there, but I was not impressed by it as much as some of the other Without a Dream.
Is it me, or did they not mention the word salvation ever in the whole thing?
He didn't.
That was kind of strange. I mean, like, it was just like Jesus was the antidepressant pill.
they talked about Jesus in contrast to Allah, and that's about it.
Are you sure? I didn't hear
that. In contrast to Muslim. Islam.
Okay, yeah, kind of. Yeah, not as much as the Egypt one, though.
No.
The Egypt one did a very good job there.
Yes, they did.
So we've been talking today, for any of you that for some reason didn't listen to the beginning part and just fast-forwarded, or you, I don't know why. Anyhow, we've been talking about some new Christian movies that have been coming out called More Than Dreams. These are six films that have came out, and they are specifically about Muslims in the Muslim world that have come to Christ as a result of a vision or a dream.
Crazy visions and dreams.
Yeah, pretty crazy. They're not all the same. Like 6 million Muslims last year came to Christ, and 80% of them came to Christ as a result of a vision or dream. And so these videos are trying to document some true stories. Okay, well, anyhow. Now, we were talking earlier about what makes these ones different than normal Christian movies.
I think they're definitely a lot more geared towards letting everybody know why or what they came from and why they're not there anymore.
Do you think that these movies were made that look like, there's a lot of movies that are made for the Middle East that are just made for the American mind, so to speak. They're an American movie and they just throw Arabic on there. Do you think these are like that?
No, I didn't. I don't think there's any propaganda in these other than to just honestly teach people that Islam is not the way to heaven, and Islam is not right, and that Christianity is the only way, and believing in Christ is the only way to get into the kingdom of heaven.
That reminds me, all of you guys that are listening right now, we got a good video on. If you go to ChristianMissionTrips.org or ArabsForChrist.org, there's a new video on there. It's called "Is Islam a Religion of Peace from God?" You can hear Azad talking. He's a former Muslim from Iraq. He's someone that we work with. He's also going to go through and explain why women are necessary as missionaries in the Middle East. So back to the topic. So Jimmy, do you think that there are a lot of videos? Do you have any examples of movies not to go spend money on that are Christian that came out in the last few years that absolutely don't have any gospel message?
Yeah, there are a few. I would say Hangman's Curse, which was they put that in mainstream movie theaters, and the plot is about a kid who kills himself back in the 50s, and everybody thinks that the school's haunted because the kid killed himself in the school, but never once did they mention Christ or redemption from anything except for just plain fear of flesh.
Yeah, a lot of these movies, they seem to be either A, trying to make money or trying to push a political agenda.
I think they think that all we want is just cleanliness in our movies, and obviously the cleanliness doesn't get us into heaven and doesn't help us in our walks with Christ.
On a related note, I guess some of you people that are listening to this know this. I'm a game programmer sometimes, not a great one at that, but on Wikipedia now, there's someone put an article up called "Why Christian Games Suck." It's really strange how horrible a lot of them are. I mean, I took kind of offense, and I tried to get him to remove that because I thought it was just really derogatory. They didn't say why Buddhist games suck or why Islamic games suck or anything.
Because you can't speak the lingo.
Yeah. Anyhow, it does seem like a lot of the movies are taking just a push towards cleanliness. Like in the game industry, like someone made a game called David and Goliath. I mean, it's beyond cheesy. I wouldn't even see an 8-year-old kid play the game for 5 minutes. And so it makes me wonder, you know, what are things necessary to make a good Christian game, or in this case, a good Christian movie? What components, what things would be necessary to be put in there?
Well, I think since all our kids are overstimulated and under motivated, that we need to catch them with things that this world has to offer, which or graphics and things that we Christians can actually use for the good of God and for the glory of God, and not necessarily always have the cheese in there.
Yeah, like there's a movie called Left Behind the Game, and it was basically an end times game where you killed the non-chip, the non-Christians.
Why kill? Why not receive?
That game looks awful. Basically it looks like they tried to make Grand Theft Auto into a Christian game, but you're still killing everyone.
As long as the gasoline cans are full of scripture verses.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, what do you put in a movie? I mean, some people, like, they've tried in this last few years to put end times movies because they figure, oh, that'll be full of action. But when you put an unbeliever in the room to watch one of those, they don't really want to watch the whole thing.
Of course not. Well, what is it for them? I mean, other than mocking them and putting people down, we don't do a very good job in bringing people to Christ through just subtleties.
Yeah, that's what they do, though. They say subtleties. They say, oh, the guy says, oh, I hate God. And then the other guy says, you should love God. And then that's the end of it.
Yeah. You have to have a firmer hand than that, unfortunately. I mean, did God not, or did Jesus Christ not go into the temple and throw the money changers out?
Well, I guess the question is God still relevant in Christian movies? They want to make it so entertaining, and the question is he relevant?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, again, the same point, though, how do you do that at the same time with, you need something, you have to be able to pull people in to watch the whole thing, otherwise they'll watch it and say, oh, this is religious garbage, rather than actually take something from it.
I think, That piece of art needs to be blessed most definitely, because it needs to be prayed over, and it needs to be not just something that a believer has done from works of his own flesh, but has it done from what Jesus has led him to do, and that's the real key, because we can't lead anybody to Christ without Christ, and you need to show that, obviously. And spirituality is in the heart, not in the flesh.
I think, like, a really neat thing about these new More Than Dreams videos is I've used them a few times with witnessing. You know, I'll witness the person, and I'll use this as a level 2 type thing. I'll talk to them and then show them the movie. And so the two really go hand-to-hand, I think. It's like with a Late One Night film that got released many years ago, and it's on sale for $3 a piece at ChristianFilms.com. It's really would be hard for someone to turn on the TV and turn it to the religious channel and watch them. That's really something. I really don't know too many people have gotten saved from just turning on the religious channel. But if someone is using that as a witnessing tool to go alongside with talking to them, maybe that would be more effective.
Oh, absolutely. And I just to go back to that, I don't think anybody watches religious TV anymore, and the only ones that do are people that. Well, I don't think anybody watches religious TV anymore, John.
I mean, there are some good programs on that three-letter channel that I'm not going to mention.
Blank BN.
Blank BN. Yeah. I mean, there's some good programs, but at the same time, there's some bad programs. But anyhow, what we need to do is we need to, like Jimmy said, we need to fine-tune this as an art that can be used to its full potential. I think definitely Christians need to get busy doing something. Most everyone sits around and complaining but doesn't do anything. And I really hope this won't be a hypocritical podcast by saying go do something. Hopefully we are doing something when you're hearing this. Herbs of Christ goes through, passes out tracts, and we do whatever we can, but it's a team. It's not just one person. We can't do this on our own. You guys need to go out and share Christ with your neighbor, with whoever, whether it's calling long distance to a random stranger in Saudi Arabia for fun.
You better be able to speak the lingo.
Or whatever. Well, anyhow, that's about all the time we got for today. We're going to be playing an interview in a little bit about the Islamization of Europe.
Somebody should make better handwriting.
So we'll be playing that. Well, anyhow, all of you guys have a great week or evening or day wherever you're at.
God bless you all.
And talk to you guys next time, whenever that next time recording will be.
Dun.
For next podcast, you can go to airchristchurch.org or MideastOutreach.com, and you will see the next ones when they are released, whenever they're released. All right.
Norcast out.
I'm talking with Roy at Greater Europe Mission, and Roy, you're in France, and today we're looking at some of the things that are taking place with the Islamization of Europe and even North America, but I think our focus is going to be on Europe today. We've read stories about things taking place in markets where Muslims will spit on sausage. I just received an article today about a judge in Germany who basically sided with a Muslim man who had been allegedly beating his wife. She was seeking divorce. She put that off because the Quran suggests that that's okay behavior. I guess my question, since we last talked, Roy, have you seen more indications that the Muslim culture, I guess the further Islamization of Europe, as you've been obviously reaching out into this area?
Yes, I would say we continue to hear those kind of little stories coming from different places, whether it's the Netherlands, Germany, some of the large immigrant areas of the French cities, Belgium. We hear little stories like that, as well as things like more recently in France, we've seen stories come up on the network news about Americans and sometimes the word American evangelicals who are here in France working with North African Muslims. They're trying to bring that to light to try to offset that influence as well. So we're hearing those kinds of stories kind of coming from all over.
What is happening within at least what you're hearing and reading? I mean, is the population growing? Are we facing a serious clash here?
Yes, yes. According to some of the latest statistics, in the next 15 years, there's an expectation that the Muslim population will double. That's due to the continued influx of immigrants who are Muslim background immigrants and the fact that they are having larger families than the typical European families. The Muslim population is younger. They're very dynamic. And so we see that increase just continue and there doesn't seem to be any slowing down at this point, despite the fact that many of these European countries are trying to close those doors and stem that tide. But that doesn't seem to be happening yet.
Talk to me about what Greater Europe Mission is doing as it relates to outreach in the Muslim culture. How difficult is it, and are you seeing success?
Well, again, there's different teams working. I think what's exciting is GEM is a part of a number of groups that are here trying to reach out to the immigrant Muslim background populations of Europe. We're seeing a lot of coordination, a lot of cooperation, partnerships taking on. We're a part of that situation like that ourselves, and it's happening. In France, we're excited to see the fact that the North African Muslim background immigrants are coming to the Lord, and they're starting to develop their own associations, their own churches, and that's something we've never seen before, but especially in the last couple of years. We're seeing them become more vocal, more public, and that's encouraging a number of people to come out of the closet, so to speak, with the fact that they believe in Christ. So we're seeing some success, and we're encouraged by what's happening, despite the fact that the numbers are so much against us, one would say.
With the numbers growing so largely, are you finding that the Muslim culture in Europe is fairly open, or is it becoming more closed?
That's a good question. What's happening is because of this culture clash, because the immigrants in different European countries are feeling less and less welcome, there is a fair amount of discrimination in different countries, difficulty in getting jobs and so on. And so especially for the young people, there's a resurgence of a militant Islam, which may be fairly ignorant of what Islam is, but is their way of saying we are not of this culture. We reject this culture, and so it becomes their
It becomes their fortress, so to speak. And they can be very militant, and they can be very violent. And so a number of the Islamist fighters, jihad fighters, which have gone to the Middle East, have come out of Europe because of that attitude and because of those feelings.
Would that mean, then, that they don't like it when Christians come into their communities?
Well, certainly not. There's always that small percentage which is very militant, which can be violent, and unfortunately, that small percentage, although it be small, can be very antagonistic and can really inflame situations for the worst. So, again, the majority, many are open. They'll talk. The nice thing about working with North Africans or working with Muslims is the fact that they will talk about God. God's a very present part of their lives, and they're very open to talking about God. But there's always that small number which wants to protect anybody from Christian, quote-unquote, Christian influence. And so they're the ones that can make it difficult. But generally speaking, people are very open to at least talk about God and talk about Jesus.
What is the biggest need that you have as it relates to the outreach, whether it's financial or prayer or both?
I think, again, you can never underestimate the need and the power of prayer. Like Paul prayed, to pray for open doors, that we would have those open doors, that we would be bold, that despite the fact there might be threats or even veiled threats from militants, difficult people, that we would be bold in those situations and that God would give us the words to speak at the right time in the right place. And to pray for those immigrant church leaders who are out there, who are making themselves very public and very visible, pray for them, that God would protect them and bless their work as well.
Are you finding, I think you mentioned this, but just wanted to be sure, are you finding that there are people that when they do turn to Christ, they are open about their faith, and are they even fearful of their lives if they've made this conversion?
Well, it's mixed. There are some national figures who are quite open, and the Lord's protecting and using them, but many are fearful. Many are very fearful of their families, what others will think. They're very fearful to do any witnessing in their own neighborhood. They're open to witnessing in other neighborhoods, but there are Muslim missionaries, so to speak, coming from Pakistan and other countries who will walk around the neighborhoods and even knock on doors, asking if people are going to the mosque for prayers and if they're doing what they're supposed to do. And some of our friends have experienced that, and so there can be a lot of fear about how public they are.
How can we pray for you specifically?
I think again, just wisdom and boldness, looking for those open doors and balance in our lives, keeping balance, and just, again, being patient, trusting in the Lord to give us those moments, trusting that it's Jesus that works, it's His power, it's the Holy Spirit, and that we would just be faithful, continue to be faithful in proclaiming the Word.
Has it been frustrating at times?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I think any work for the Lord, there's those moments, there's those temptations, and it's a matter of expectations. We don't expect thousands and thousands falling at our feet, but we do see the Lord working here and there in individuals' lives, and we're beginning to see that grow, and that's encouraging. That's very encouraging.
All right, Roy, that's all I've got for you. Anything I missed? Anything you'd like to add?
Nope. I just hope I'm clear and lucid for you. And if that helps, praise God. And I appreciate your ministry.